is still the season, Nathan.
To be tradey.
This is the Trade Warriors Podcast. What do we do, Nathan? We review different trade paperbacks every
week. Yes, we do. I can't believe it took me so long to say that.
Who am I? I'm Daniel. Who are you? You're Nathan. What are we? We're brothers.
You're so quick. We read comics. Trade paperbacks.
Trade paperbacks.
In the form of comic books.
Different ones. And we talk about it.
And it's a very jolly episode because it comes out on Christmas.
Perhaps the jolliest.
Yeah, so jolly.
Until we think of something even jollier next year.
It's so jolly because it's the day before Christmas Eve. And we're recording really late. It's probably going to be Christmas Eve when we're done.
Yes, sir.
And then I'll have to edit it the same day. So, yeah, I'm feeling real. It's real jolly.
That's our commitment.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Winston really feels the need to eat food.
Yeah, he's hungry.
That's how I know it's time to podcast, is the dog eats food. But yeah, we read trade paperbacks every week, and we talk about them. And we also go over some of the news that happened that's comic book related. What kind of news do you have? It's a super dry week for me. I don't know if that's the same with you.
You know, I saw news and just a lot of it didn't seem worthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Biggest thing was the death of Jeremy Bullock.
Boba Fett?
Boba Fett, yeah.
That's a bummer.
He put on the armor in the original series. I don't know if he did the voice or anything.
I don't think he did the voice, but he was in the suit.
Very important.
Lots of people in suits dying this year, unfortunately, which is really weird.
Yeah, a lot of the original Star Wars cast, you know. Yeah,
a lot of the big boys behind,
like the CPO, C-3POs, and the R2s, and the
How old is
Chewbacca?
Do we know why he died?
Or how he had he had Parkinson's for a long time, and I guess that got to him or something. I don't know if that's fatal or anything, but that's what I read.
I'm sure it contributes a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So nothing. Okay. It's not like COVID related.
That's good. It sucks to hear when that kind of stuff happens.
Super. So. Big bummer.
There is a new Nightwing series coming out from Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo. Okay. And it's going to start on issue 78. So
is that a different creative team?
Yeah, it's a different creative team.
Who was on it before?
I don't know who was on it before, but I didn't really care about it that much. And I didn't know it was even still going, but I really do like Tom Taylor, and he has lots of crazy ideas. So I like to see him on new things and see what his take is on it. So
yeah, I like him as well.
So that'll be cool. I'll probably even check it out, which I haven't picked up any of
like
the...
Like buy it.
Yeah, like purchase it and read it instead of just report on it. So do you have anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay, there's... Zack Snyder wants to write a Jim Lee comic in which Joker kills Robin. And to that I say, you're a couple decades too late, because that's kind of already happened.
Yeah, like 4 decades too late?
Yeah.
That was like an 80s
There's thing. Already been a death in the family, Zack Snyder. I don't care about your cut of it.
They've all died at some point. Like, what... He thinks that he has something to add, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, if he can get Jim Lee on a book, we haven't seen him... Do like
Jim Lee would do it because Zack Snyder was attached to it, not because it's any good.
Yeah, well, I mean, as he should. I feel like he should. You know, the only thing that he should be producing is stuff that's from like probably movie writers or whatever that are supposed to be like quote unquote like higher tier, I guess.
Sure.
But he's like not even like really an artist anymore. He's like a business position in DC. So
yeah, he's like almost like a spokesperson, and
yeah, he's like
he
a chairman.
Does some covers every now and then, but
yeah,
not really a book.
He'll always do like covers, but yeah, to get him on a book, I think would be kind of interesting to see again. But I think Jim Lee, like there's a lot of really great talent at DC right now, and I feel like, you know, if it was just a normal like writer with Jim Lee, it wouldn't be like that interesting. But I feel like maybe a Zack Snyder or a different director might have an interesting take, but that concept does not interest me whatsoever. But yeah, I just saw that today, and who cares?
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it's a very light news week because we had so much to talk about last week.
Yeah.
DC came out with a bunch of stuff. Obviously, Disney had 100 tweets that we had to talk about, so...
Yeah, so...
Nothing too much.
We'll just move on.
Yeah, we'll just go straight in.
No problem with that.
Into our book. Quicker than ever, probably.
What did we read this week, Nathan?
This week, Klaus. We wanted to be...
Or maybe it's Klaus.
I think it's Klaus.
Probably Klaus.
I think with the... It's like Dutch. Like it,
Klaus?
Yeah, so it'd be Klaus. Klaus. You know? So this is a book from Grant Morrison, Dan Mora, who illustrated it, Ed Dukeshire on letters, and Scott Newman is the designer, which is a position that I don't typically see in comics.
Whatever the fuck that means.
This book has like, it's like way better than it has any right to be, I feel like.
I think I had like some high expectations for this with Grant Morrison writing it, but like I definitely didn't, you know, hold it to a super high standard. I'm like, all right, this is still a book about like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Let's see what this is. This book was like surprisingly like super trippy.
Like trippy. It was like, it's phenomenal in general.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is
this happening? Is like top tier artists as well. Like the artists carry this book over like Grant Morrison's writing.
I would say. Yeah. And the writing is like what it needs to be.
Yeah.
But the art like definitely makes it.
The writing is like, oh, this is fun because it's like Christmas. Like, and he like ties in like Christmas aspects into like Santa Claus's origin.
And makes it like fake origin.
That makes me like giggle because it's like ridiculous and like gritty or whatever. But it's like,
yeah, I have things to say about that. But
yeah, but this Dan Mora. I like looked into him after this because I was like, I need to see more from this guy because he's so fucking good.
Is he on anything?
He did like a lot of Power Rangers. He's done a lot of Marvel covers, and it's mainly been independent stuff. But
okay, because this is a Boom book, and I think Power Rangers is Boom as well.
Yeah, Power Rangers is Boom, and
or
then
is it IDW?
He did a book called Hexed, which is also an independent book, obviously, and things like that. So I'd even be interested in reading that just based off this, because there was not a single thing where I was like, everything looks awesome and like cool in general. If it was like a kid, then he drew a kid like exactly how I would have wanted it. If it was every like shot of Klaus in this, like looked incredible.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be a really good Batman artist because
I can see that, yeah.
It's like a rule in Batman where like if you are drawing Batman, he has to look cool in some way. He can't just be like standing there, you know, he has to be doing something cool, or maybe his cape is doing something cool. And I feel like Klaus looked really cool in this. But essentially the idea of the book is that it's Santa Claus year one, and it's the like origin of Santa Claus, which is a ridiculous idea in general, like kind of a fun idea but kind of ridiculous. But
I think this needed to happen at some point in comics,
yeah,
and I'm glad it turned out this way.
Yeah.
And this is like the team that was attached to
What's
it.
Your view on Santa Claus? Do you like him? He's a good guy?
Decent dude. I don't, you know, he's portrayed differently in different adaptations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's your favorite Santa Claus adaptation? Is it like a Tim Allen? Is it like other Santa Claus people? I don't know any other ones.
Kind of a loaded question, honestly. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I honestly, I came up with this idea, and I think that there needs to be something.
Oh, no, dude. The one in fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh yeah,
I just feel like he was like, he sang and shit, and I thought it was good.
Yeah, and he's like very like plump, I feel like.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he was like the boss. He just seemed like the dude that was there that happened to be Santa.
He's the kind of guy that like would volunteer normally, like
yeah
he just kind of
sure
like
he had enough to eat.
He's like vibing with life in general.
Definitely. Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I didn't think about it, but I agree with my answer.
So I think Christmas is great, but I think the Santa Claus lore needs to be updated a little bit. And I've been thinking about this a lot today.
Okay.
Or not today, this week. So I think there needs to be some sort of like canon thing to happen with Santa Claus where he like updates his like business practice to include like to like update his supply chain and include like Apple products or like Xbox products and stuff like that.
There's gotta be, because like, you know, people get shit that's like a brand,
yeah,
you know, and that's all things are now, like toys, like it's always like Lego or something like that.
Yeah,
like, and so he builds Lego now. Is he a manufacturer?
There needs
them?
To be like a movie or something where it like pulls in a bunch of brands, like a Lego or yeah, like a Lego movie or like the second Wreck-It Ralph movie, like something like that. But Santa Claus, and then he's just like fucking around with different brands, and he's like, okay, you are gonna join me, and we're gonna build this like empire, but for the good, you know.
What if like these businesses send like the blueprints on like their products,
yeah,
and then like the elves, they don't actually make any toys, they just kind of run these machines
that could
shit.
Be it too. He could be in that, on like the trade secrets
that build iPads and shit.
Yeah, he could have like the trade secrets of all those different companies.
He's got
like
those secret tools that only those tools can open Apple products.
Exactly. And then the elves can use that instead, because I think
they're all just like tech nerds and they fucking
probably, dude,
they fix screens and shit.
And I feel like one of the, like, I think I figured out that Santa wasn't real because I got an Xbox controller from Walmart from Santa Claus one time, and it said from Walmart.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, cool, he shops at Walmart. And then I was like,
Or maybe he outsources when, like, he just doesn't have the resources.
Maybe, but I feel like...
For, like, those specific things.
That needs to be, like, documented on something so that the kids can understand, like, if it says... You know, if it's an Xbox controller and, like, maybe they're of the age of, like, 8 where they understand what a business is.
Dude,
that would be...
What if there was, like, fucking, like, Santa exclusive things? Like, Santa exclusive Funko Pops and shit? Like, how, like, Walgreens has their own, like, exclusives?
You have to get it from Santa?
Yeah, like, can only get it from Santa.
Like, this iPhone is candy cane.
And then, like, scalpers wouldn't be a thing. Like, be like, hey, Santa, I want 10 of these controllers or something. He's like, no. So if you want to get rid of your exclusive Santa controller, you got to get rid of it.
Exactly.
It's not just for reselling and scalping.
I like that.
This is okay. I'm invested now.
Yeah, isn't this like it needs to happen eventually? I was like,
what the fuck are you gonna update?
I'm bringing something.
Now that I think about it, yeah,
I'm bringing it to the table because there's, you know, no one's getting Etch a Sketches from Santa anymore. No
one's, or like teddy bears,
or yeah, teddy bears,
like shit that you build, I guess.
Yeah, whenever my like basis to go off of is like Elf or like the Santa Claus movies,
like off brand like Jack in the Boxes.
Exactly. So I think there needs to be that update, and so that's just my general opinion. But I've thought about it a lot, and I think it makes sense.
No, it definitely does.
Yeah,
I agree.
Anyway, the book that we read.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's the beginning of all this where kids were playing with like wooden toys and shit. But yeah, Santa Claus Year One. So we'll just kind of go right into it. First thing I want to point out is it starts with the classic Grant Morrison opening. Do you remember what that was?
Like wide panels that get bigger and then...
Yep. A bunch of wide panels on the first page, and then it goes straight to a double page spread.
With the title.
Yeah, so it's like the story of Santa Claus Year One, which follows Klaus, who's returning to the city of Grimsvig during Yule time to sell some stuff he's kind of hunted.
This guy looks so sick right off the bat.
I know.
He's got a hood on that's red.
He's
got no sleeves.
No sleeves.
He's fucking jacked. Look at those shoulders.
Showing his biceps.
He's got that front delt looking great.
One of the aesthetics I love like the most is snow on a beard.
Dude, and yeah, this is really well on that.
He has so much snow on a beard.
Snow on the beard, snow on like his hoodie and yeah, shit.
And he just looks great. Like he's totally jacked and looks like he'd be the kind of man hunting in like wherever this is.
Just imagine like Henry Cavill and like a hood.
Can you imagine Henry Cavill and Klaus?
And then a beard. Yeah, this is what they would cast.
Exactly.
They just put him in everything because he looks like comic book characters.
He's totally just a badass. So
right
off the bat you're like, this is Santa Claus, and you're like, oh, he really let himself go, didn't he? so he's returning to Grimsvig, which is his hometown, during Yule time, which is like Christmas before Christmas.
I guess so.
That's kind of what I understood. And you know, trying to sell the stuff he's hunted. But while he's there, he takes a stop at like a bar and notices the town isn't what he thought, or as he like remembers it, because it's people within Grimsvig are forced to mine like during this time. And he gets forced out of the bar after the guards in Grimsvig like start taking his like hunted skin and fish, and they start to like force him out because he's not wanted there.
His pelts.
Thank you. I was trying to think of the name for it and I couldn't, but
I don't know why I know that so quickly, but yeah.
No, this is a common word. I'm just dumb. But as he like starts leaving and is like, all right, I'll leave, Klaus notices a child being ridiculed for playing with a rock as a toy. And he finds out that toys aren't allowed in Grimsvig anymore. And he tries to step in, which causes him to get tied up by all the guards. And he's escorted out into the cold and the snow. And so...
the town kind of looks like a snowy, like, Assassin's Creed village.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That just to kind of visualize...
there's a bunch of buildings, like, that are, like, together.
Right.
And it's possible to get around just jumping around the roofs. It's very snowy, obviously. And there's like a couple remnants right off the bat of like current like Christmas lore, like kids playing with toys, obviously, like you gotta throw that in there. And this is also a town to like a lot of the people in the town are mining coal. And I thought that was going to play like a bigger part into why bad kids get coal.
Yeah, I thought that too. I didn't think about, I knew that they were mining, but I didn't connect like, oh, it's coal.
Yeah.
Bad kids get coal.
Which is like a Christmas thing. But
right.
It doesn't really get followed up on. There is more Klaus story after this.
I don't think you need to follow up on it.
No.
Because you can't do that to where it's not cheesy, really. Like, now that I think I know how this ends.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it doesn't like force all of the just like typical Christmas tropes onto you, which I like. It's just like,
yeah, it's like the ones that fit into the story.
He weaves it in pretty well. So anyway, so he's getting escorted out and we get introduced to Magnus, who is the new guy running the town, and he's responsible for all the new like corruption and the change within Grimsvig. And we're also introduced to Magnus's kid Jonas, who's like a typical brat, as you might expect from like a royalty like family. And then his wife as well. And so
Magnus looks like if Loki wore like what the Emperor wears, you know, yeah. Like the Sith Lord Emperor, like Lord Sidious wears. He looks a lot like that, like very skinny and minuscule.
I would agree with that.
Wears black.
Like a black cloak and everything.
Yeah.
So his family's like having dinner and they're talking about this like Klaus dude or whatever. But Klaus manages to escape from the guards that are like escorting up to go kill him by calling his white wolf named Lily, who takes down the men and then also helps Klaus to escape. And then they like during this, they also manage to like take down a moose so that Klaus can use it to make this magic healing broth thing that he makes.
I like how the dog's or the wolf's name is Lily. It's
yeah.
Not like some force like reindeer name or
like thank you or Prancer.
Like, or like what you'd call like a white German Shepherd or whatever, like mm-hmm. like Ghost or something.
Thanks Snowflake or yeah, something.
It's like Lily.
I'm yeah.
Like, that's cute.
it is a really cute name, and Lily is like vicious and
oh yeah, she's dope.
There's a scene where you see him like take down a moose or like a reindeer or something, and like it looks just really great
like,
in general.
It's like the most evil looking deer I've ever seen.
Yeah. I like how you can make animals look evil if you just don't give them a pupil.
Yeah, and make their eyes red.
Yeah, it just looks like a scorpion like version of whatever animal. So, but after he makes this broth, he plays a little tune on his flute that he has.
Around the campfire.
Like, yeah, around the campfire. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cute. Like, I really like the sheet music symbols that are coming out of the flute, and they're like in like a rainbow thing, and then Lily's like awooing, so she's howling.
She's howling.
Yeah.
I'm like, awoo. Did you just say awooing?
Awooing. That was a joke. I know what howling is. So yeah, he's playing on his flute, and coming up on him in the night are some spirits that are seemingly attracted to either the flute tune or the meal that he made. I'm not really sure which one. I think it's like after he eats it, then he's like able to like see these spirits or whatever. But anyway, they seem to like take control of him because he walks off into the wilderness with his knife to cut down some trees and stuff. And he wakes up the next morning all sore in his hands and stuff to notice a bunch of toys in front of him with a sack to carry all of them. And that's how like the first chapter ends. And when he gets taken control of by the spirits, it is like some of the most psychedelic like looking coloring I've seen in any comic book.
Absolutely.
And it's phenomenal. I couldn't stop looking at it because it's just incredible. And I wanted to know who the colorist was. Maybe that's the designer doing this, or I don't know if it's Dan Mora.
I think he did all of it. Sounds like.
Dude, that is unbelievable.
Insane, yeah. The most trippiest like double page spread ever.
Because it's comics. Like it's really hard to do something like this, and like you can still focus on what needs to be focused on without it being too much. Like, I've even seen an artist like Christian Ward who uses like a lot of coloring. Like, mm-hmm. It can kind of be hard on knowing what to focus on.
Okay.
But the way that Dan Mora does it with like the hands almost like pointing like towards Klaus or like leading your eye that way. And then even after that, like the knife is like a very like high contrast compared to everything in the background. But everything's like still super bright colors.
Right.
And it's just, it's awesome to just look at. So big props there. Really cool. So he's got some toys in front of him, and now he's like, what am I supposed to do? So mm-hmm. That was the end of the chapter one. And then picking up in chapter two, the people in the town, or I'm sorry, Klaus decides to sneak his way back into Grimsvig, which he does by like scaling the castle walls. Like the city's borders have castle walls around them.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Magnus lives in like a castle?
Within those walls.
Within those walls? Okay, cool. So Klaus decides to scale him with like a hook that he has, and he's bringing like his sack of toys, and he knocks out the guards in his way with like a snowball that he throws on top of one of the roofs that then snowballs into like a bigger thing, which then takes them out on the ground, which I think is pretty entertaining. And then he also incapacitates one of the guards and leaves him like in front of a vandalized poster of Magnus as a sign that he's back. And so Klaus is like a snowy Batman.
Yeah. Did you put together like his little symbol thing?
So he's the,
it's like a P.
Yeah.
What's that for?
I don't know what that's for, but I know, like, yeah, I'm not sure what that's supposed to represent. It looks like a sharp P.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's supposed to, where do you see it in this issue?
Yeah, it's under that poster.
Oh yeah, it is. No, I'm not sure what that's about.
Yeah, you see it a few times, but it's not that.
It's like his symbol, but it's not like
anything.
Know, yeah, nothing that I really know. I could really connect it to. It's not really like explained either. Yeah, I think just the fact that he's basically like a Batman is super funny. And something that's kind of underrated in comics as well is just like super snowy scenes. Like you see a lot of rain, I feel like, in comic books, but the way that Dan Moore like draws action within the snow, I think just adds a lot to the story.
Yeah, definitely. Like when he's jumping off like the wall.
Exactly.
Pretty dope.
And you could see like the perspective of like snowflakes that are like closer to you because they're like bigger circles, and you could tell which ones are further away. It's not like just like the toothbrush, like whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
The
toothbrush flick thing,
like the spray or whatever. Yeah,
and people typically do that for like stars and stuff, which ends up working, but he like takes this there's good perspective in this one. But anyway, the people of the town wake up the next morning to find that toys have been delivered to their front doors, like as if it was Amazon or something. It was like a Yuletime Christmas miracle. But Magnus is pissed off by all this and decides to take all the toys given to the children to then give them to his child, Jonas, in the castle. And there's like obviously some pushback from the civilians saying that he's, you know, taking away from the children during Yuletime. But Magnus snaps back with that he's canceling Yuletime until the mining quotas are met, which he knows are basically unattainable. And then he tries to figure out who delivered the toys in the first place, and a little girl speaks up and says that it was the Yuletime spirit that did it. So he's kind of already like a myth within this city.
Yeah, I guess there's like kind of an under story about how like Jonas, like Magnus's kid, like doesn't like any toys, and like they're all boring to him and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess like his dad's just always taking toys from people to get him shut up or something.
Yeah, there's kind of some, that's how he like justifies taking the toys, at least to the people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's happening. And, you know, people are talking about the Yuletime spirit, and it seems like it's kind of shifting into like the Santa myth. Kind of a slow burn there. But Magnus's kid is a little brat and hates all the toys that he got because they don't fly or something. And then he smashes a wooden bird that he gets. The mom recognizes the way that the bird was made and asks herself if this is Klaus, which implies that they've kind of known each other in some form before. And then that night, the wall patrol is like, it's upped a lot. It's heavily enforced. And part of that is the typical like big boy bad guy that you'd see is just like super tall, super thick and muscular. His name is Olav. And when Klaus is taking out some guards, he walks into a trap that causes a fight with Olav. And, you know, Klaus takes some heavy hits and tries punching him in the face, but it, like, doesn't do a whole lot. And Klaus is able to take him down with a rope that he ties to his foot, and then he yanks it to make Olav, like, hit his head. And then the guards and Magnus find him later, knocked out still, but this time he's, like, inside of a cute little snowman. And Magnus gets so pissed that he brings out the attack dogs who sniff out Klaus's location, and they have him backed up into, like, a dead end. I really like how Dan Mora, like, he manages to draw animals, like, so goddamn well. Like, they emote so much, and, like, everyone is, like, super badass. So, like, when he sends out these, like, attack dogs, they look just rabid and, like, vicious. like as much as possible.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, that, you don't want that coming at you.
There's like a really big emphasis on like the teeth, and like obviously he's got the eyes without any pupils, which makes him look really angry.
They got
really
slobber
angry.
Everywhere.
Yeah, because they're vicious, and so I really like that.
Yeah.
But going into chapter 3, Klaus is in his dead end, and he kind of accepts death, but his big wolf pal Lily jumps in to assert dominance over the attack dogs I don't know how Lily finds her way in, because Klaus had to scale a wall, but I guess there's some sort of opening that she could go through. But even when like Lily comes in, the dogs immediately are like kind of hunched over and kind of like submissive in a way, and he like represents that really well too. When the dogs come back with nothing, they kind of figure that they're dealing with some sort of wolf man or like a ghost, but they don't. To try and prevent them from dropping off toys again in front of the doors, they make a plan to cover like every door that night. One, I like that they don't really know who they're even dealing with yet. Like, he's still kind of a myth to them. And then I also like the line in this scene where he's like, let our invisible beast man find some other way to deliver the magical toys. And then it cuts to Klaus on like a rooftop looking over all the chimneys that are in the city. And so it kind of gives you a hint that he's going to just utilize the chimneys.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, because the guard's like, well, we'll let him, you know, let's see how he does it now. And then it cuts to Klaus just kind of up looking over everything. So it's like, oh, that's where that part of the mythos comes in. We get a glimpse of all the mining going on in the town that's being controlled by Magnus, which, you know, is clearly like awful for them. And all the men are like clearly super tired and like dying as well because they're working so hard. And Magnus starts to feel unrest in the town. And he sees a wooden bird, like that wooden bird in his wife's hand, and says it's like a symbol of revolt, like the toys, I guess, and that it needs to be stopped. And so he like crushes the toy, which is obviously kind of special to his wife in some way. But
because she had like her own, like in like a locket or something.
Yeah.
And so that was one that he crushed.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't notice that. I thought it was just one from all the ones delivered, but that makes sense.
Maybe we haven't gotten to that part yet, but
anyway. No, she did have one in like the locket, and I think she took that because I think Jonas ended up smashing whatever bird that he had.
Oh yeah, and then she had one.
Right, yeah, and cool. Then she had one as well. But at this point, I'm like, I don't know how, you know, Magnus is able to land this like hot piece of ass in the first place, because he's like a super dick.
She kind of looks like a bitch like the first couple issues.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, this works. They just brood together or whatever.
Yeah, just like an evil dynamic in general. But as soon as like she sees the wooden bird, you can tell that like her overall tone kind of shifts a little bit,
right?
She
gets like, she looks like a cuter character.
Yeah.
A little more innocent or nice.
Yeah, definitely more innocent. So. I think it's in the nose. I feel like she looked more fierce when she, like...
No, it's the eyes for sure.
It's definitely the eyes, but I feel like when we first met her, she had, like, you could see all of her nose, but now as she's, like, more innocent, it's just, like, the bottom part of the nose.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't connect to the face. Maybe that's just something I'm noticing right now. So, Klaus is outside again, like, outside of the town, and he makes some more of his weird shroom stew, and he goes to sleep. And we see those spirits come out again. So we know that something's about to happen there, which I can't get over that coloring when those spirits are there. It's like super, super bright and different. But we cut to Magnus, who's in the mine, and he walks past all like the miners in order to go to like this big wall that's in there underground. And he talks to it saying that he's done everything he's asked, or Magnus has done everything that he's asked so far, and asks for strength again. But the wall ends up yelling back at him in like some sort of alien language. So we know that there's like something weird going on down there.
It's just like some scribbles.
Yeah, some scribbles. The lettering there is really good because the actual like alien letters go outside of the actual bubble. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's real loud.
Yeah.
Magnus leaves saying that he's taking care of the Santa situation and tells the wall to like keep quiet or else the other people are going to hear him. So I'm like, this dude's talking to a big wall. What the hell is that about? Mm-hmm. Klaus is back in town, and he pulls off a stunt while everyone is at church. He, like, carves that symbol into the snow, the, like, pointy P. I'm not sure what that's about. And then he's able to, like, zip line into some place where there's, like, a dead Christmas tree. And Klaus, like, lights it on fire for Magnus to see. But I'm not really sure what the point of that scene is.
Just to, I think, let him know that he's, like, in the town.
That he's, like, still there, maybe. Okay. Because it almost seems like he picks it up and, like, brings it someplace, but maybe he just, like, lit it on fire and it fell over. I'm not sure. But
right.
He then, like, climbs Magnus's castle and goes in through the window to see Magnus's wife, Dagmar is her name, who he calls by name, which kind of tells the reader that they do end up, like, they do know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so... also, at some point in this, they start calling him Santa. I don't really know where that originated, but I think it was, like, a Dutch, like, translation.
It was, like, one of the kids or something. It's like, oh, the spirit of Yule time, the Santa, or whatever. I'm like...
Maybe that's, like, a translation, but I don't know. Maybe that's, like, always been a thing. I felt like there would have been, like, some weird origin of his name, but they just kind of, like, threw it in, and they're like, this is a thing now.
I don't know what you can necessarily do to make that... make sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So, that's fine.
Yeah.
If they just called him the Spirit of Yule Time the entire book, I think that would have worked better, personally.
Instead of calling him Santa?
Yeah, because, like, where does that come from? And it's almost, like, continuously forcing, like, the lore.
Yeah.
Like, if this is just, like, a book called Klaus about this, like, you know...
Yeah.
Robin Hood kind of character, then... If you interpret it differently, then it might not be a Christmas book.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bigger deal to mention Santa Claus for the first time rather than it, like, I don't know if it was effective being something that some random kid says, like, in, like, a weird, like, compilation part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of just like a side character saying it, but when I feel like that's probably, it probably should be more of, like, a pivotal moment, but it's interesting. But people are knowing him as, like, Santa now, so that's good. Chapter 4, it's like the Klaus's origin, and his mom is frozen in the snow for some reason, but Klaus himself was being held by his mom and he was not frozen, and the book explains it as, you know, for some reason we can't foresee is why he survived, and he was taken to grow up in Grimsvig himself, that he was born or he was raised there, and he grew up as Klaus, which means the victory of the people, which is cool. I didn't know that. I looked it up. It is a for real thing.
Oh, and, really? Cool.
And as he grows up there, he meets Dagmar, which is Magnus's wife now. And he's, you know, using a sweet charm, which makes young Magnus jealous from, like, afar. And we see the first hint of that weird thing that he was talking to, like, in the mines. When Magnus says that he would do anything to make her love me, and whatever that thing was responds with, like, anything. So,
yeah,
this is a cool little flashback showing that Klaus has got the schmooves.
Yeah,
and can just, woo the ladies.
He just sends one of those bird toys to her.
And yeah,
he's like, wow.
I assume that's the one that she's carried all this time.
Right.
Yeah. So the wooden bird is kind of like a signature of him. Also, why is his mom frozen? I wonder if that's, like, explored a little bit later. Because there is more Klaus books.
There are?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a couple, like, from, like, the same creative team and shit that I, like, want to read next year.
It sounds good.
Yeah. And, like, it seems like it's really good. So I'll explain what I found after this, but it seems really cool. But anyway, back to the present. Klaus goes to see Dagmar. He's kind of in the windowsill. And he has his hood up, so she doesn't really know who it is. Which I discovered is kind of like kind of breaks the continuity, because the cliffhanger of the last issue is him showing up, but he doesn't have his hood on at that point.
And there's, like, light and everything, so yeah, she definitely would have seen.
You can see his face clearly. I wonder if that's just, like, something that happened because these are all month-to-month issues.
Probably. I see that now, like, going back, but yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I didn't notice it at first, so, yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. But... anyway, she threatens to ring the bell to alert the guards to come up and take him away, but Klaus says that he just wanted to see if Dagmar had grown to be so cruel, because that's not the Dagmar that he knows. And in the conversation, she reveals that she isn't loved by her people like she once was, and then Klaus ends up revealing himself, bringing another wooden bird to her as well. And then Dagmar hesitates for, like, a little bit after this and slaps him for killing her father. So that's a big reveal, but then it kind of goes straight into a flashback of that situation, which in reality is Magnus poisoning her father, who was the ruler at that time, and then blaming it on Klaus, who was like a big general for the city, which, you know, drives him out of the city. And when they go to kill him at that time for killing the leader, he's saved by Lily, who is kind of in a way paying back Klaus for not killing Lily as like a pup we see in the flashback.
Yeah, there's just like a little part where they're killing
like wolves. The smallest part, and we see Lily as like a little pup just born, and he like spares her. So later when he needs her most, she's like there to like fight off those guards.
Yeah, she like recognizes him or something.
And then
it seemed like they like exiled him, and then she just like he like collapsed on the ground because he had like nothing to live for.
Oh, and, yeah, they do end up leaving.
Lily just like laid on top of him.
Yeah, that was so cute.
Yeah, she's like. Like, this wolf is, like, huge, like, how, like, wolves, like, are. Like, they're much bigger than humans, honestly. Yeah. And
yeah, so when he collapses... This would
work, you know, like, to keep a human alive.
Yeah, when he collapses on the snow and then he just, like, kind of laves over her. It's, like, a very nice moment. I really like the lettering, too, just in general. There's, like, a scene where Lily licks... Like
the dog lettering?
Yeah. The dog lettering is, like, some of the best lettering I've ever seen, because all of the, like, all the howls and,
There's a...
Like a thlorp, yeah, of Lily licking.
For licking.
Yep. And like a sniffs, like all of those are just, they add to Lily's character so much, I feel like. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, that's how the Lily relationship started, which is cool to see. And so, you know, back to the present, Klaus says he has a plan to take Grimsvig back. And so he gives her, you know, a different toy, and then disappears as she looks at it. So he does that like Batman trope.
Dude, look at his shoulder in this panel.
You could see
it's fucking like, insane. You can see the rear delt, the side delt, and the
middle delt.
And the front delt all in one angle.
Yeah. Unreal.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he does like he knows arm anatomy like really well. Like yeah. You could see like the triceps like super clearly, and they work together with like, and it's not like he knows what a tricep looks like. It's not just like the half of the arm, he like knows the shape of it, which is cool.
So, I appreciate that.
Big shout out.
So Jonas is like in some weird hall thing, and he's just smashing toys because he thinks it's fun or whatever. He's like, "Where's the magic?" And then his mom like gives him the new toy. It looks like a little General Grievous like bug thing,
like a robot maybe.
Like, yeah, like a little robot. And then his mom's like, "Oh, there's a funny part where she's like." Mother, you look strange because like she doesn't look like a bitch. Like she doesn't have like the resting bitch face anymore.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, because she like looks like a nice person now, as opposed to the first issue where she's just like.
Oh yeah, there is a big change there, huh?
Yeah, that's something I noticed. Cool. Specifically, and so she just starts like playing with him, like you know, they're playing and like they're making up stories to where the toys don't end up like smashed.
Yeah, and like. Jonas hates it at first and like tries to smash it, but when they start to like play with the toys together, we can really see Jonas's like perspective change as well.
And being like a kid,
you could start to see him become more innocent because like his eyes are like wider now and stuff. And so, it, like really good like subtle changes to these characters.
Yeah.
Then through the joy of Christmas or Yule time, I should say.
Then Magnus comes storming in. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Why are you playing right now?"
Yeah.
Apparently he's preparing for like some kings to come by or something.
Yeah.
They're like coming to visit. They really just slipped that in there in this issue.
Yeah. It's not really like, was there actually kings coming in? Cause it doesn't ever come in. Is it like,
yeah, they come in
the kings.
Yeah.
Is that those four guys?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand who they were. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so he's like, "We got to get the town ready for it," or whatever.
For the kings.
For the kings.
So and, he tells Jonas that it's time to make a man out of you.
Yeah, and so he's gonna use him for something. We'll see.
We cut to the mines, and the workers are starting to revolt more and more, which causes more examples to be made by killing them. And so the senior leader of this, who's you know, probably an important unit to Magnus at this point, is clearly like unsure about all of that's going on, just killing of miners and stuff. And he goes home to find the infamous Santa is there, the man, the myth, the legend. And his name is Sergeant Linkvist. And he's lived through the change that was caused by Magnus. And he admits that he's kind of ashamed to where the red and white colors that used to mean something. And so Klaus reveals that he's going to throw a Yuletide party that everyone is going to be invited to. Mm-hmm. And so I like that there's now like war tactics being involved, because he's clearly like targeting a senior within Magnus's thing who probably doesn't agree with his tactics, because he knew how it was before.
Right.
And so we start to see like Klaus's influence, and I like the simple inclusion of like this red and white, you know, it used to mean something.
Yeah,
which is obviously what Santa wears.
I guess it's like the town's colors or something. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Which, you know, clearly is just going to be what Santa Claus wears later. So,
you know that like back in the day, like Santa used to be like blue and white, but like Coca-Cola like changed it.
No way.
Yeah, that's like a fact.
Really?
Yeah, is that nuts?
That is nuts. I didn't realize Coca-Cola was in this story.
Yeah, no, Coca-Cola didn't show up in here.
No, I'm just kidding.
Grant Morrison left that part out. didn't fit. So Magnus is having Jonas write like a letter, because I guess like the way the kids like write letters to Santa is that they write the letters and then they throw it in the fire. And I guess it burns up a little bit and goes up through the chimney.
Yeah, because he, like, heat raises and it catches the letters.
And so that's how you send letters to Santa. And
Magnus is writing one Jonas to create a trap.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we'll come back to. And so, that's the end of issue 4?
Yep. So chapter 5. Magnus and his kid Jonas have written a letter to Santa, which is going to be a trick to lure him into the trap. And we find out that Magnus was given a little bit of strength from this voice in the Black Rock that's like allowing him to lift this heavy sword that he has. And he reveals that to Dagmar, and how he's like kind of worried about the revolt and Santa and everything, and how he just wants the strength to be gifted to him from this random creature in this wall or in this rock. Meanwhile, Klaus is scaling the rooftops of Grimsvig, and he's throwing these presents down the chimney. And this is how he's like avoiding the guards as well, because they're still very heavily populated down on the streets. And so he makes it to the mine, where there's like rumors of Santa going around already that we see. But in that moment, Klaus knocks out the guard that's standing there. And, you know, Klaus himself stands there all stoic and stuff, and saying only one man works at Yuletide, and that's going to be him. And so he tells the miners to go home to their family and say... And he says that the presents are from Santa, wearing the red and white colors of Grimsvig. So
yeah, this really reminds me of like, you know, like Speedy in Red Arrow or in Arrow.
Yeah, dude, I fucking love that shot of him just standing there, like all epic and whatnot. Like
he makes a sack on his back look cool.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah.
And like, there's a change in design, I think.
I think the hood really adds a lot to it.
It does. The white lining around the hood, and just like kind of around his clothes in general.
Fucking, I think this is like a
fucking spot on.
I think this is like a guard's outfit that he took when he knocked that one dude out.
Oh, maybe. You might be right.
So
yeah, it looks great. Maybe that's what like the designer's for. Maybe he like designs the characters. The designer of the book.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be kind of explored in the back matter. Perhaps I didn't look at it.
It's not. But
it's not.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he looks great. Again, more snow on the beard.
I assume the designer is just for like, you know, like the trade dress.
Maybe.
And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that could be it as well. And so,
Did you mention that he was dropping presents down the chimneys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Yep. When he was scaling the rooftops to avoid the guards, he's dropping presents at the same time.
He wrapped them this time so that they don't get all dirty in like the ashes.
Yeah. He just kind of puts them in smaller sacks, it looks like, and ties rope around them.
Wrapping them,
yeah. I wish I could do that now. That'd be kind of sick.
Just throw some shit in a sack?
Yeah.
You might as well just...
In a small colored sack and then... kind of tighten it with a rope.
I was thinking about this. You might as well just keep the shit in like the Amazon shipping package that it came in, because you're not going to know what it is until you open it anyway.
Yeah, but there's no penguins or anything on that.
Who gives a shit?
There's no Spider-Man.
Who actually with a Christmas gives hat. A shit?
I do.
You.
I like to rip it.
You're going to rip it off.
Yeah.
You're not going to keep it.
The wrapping paper?
Yeah.
No.
Just got to throw it away.
I mean, you don't keep the wrapping on food that you eat.
Yeah.
It's hardly comparable, though.
So why does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know. So, anyway, Magnus and Dagmar are still like talking, and he admits that he made a deal with this voice in the Black Rock in order to like overthrow Grimsvig, gain knowledge, and then he also admitted to casting a love spell on Dagmar so that she would love him. But now she's kind of pissed at this point, now knowing the people in her family. So now that she knows that the people her family once ruled are slaving for coal that they don't need because Magnus was a little bitch, essentially, and decided to follow this voice that doesn't really know. So, big moment there.
Did you see this little, like, Iron Fist thing that he's wearing?
Oh, yeah. I did notice that there's, like, a symbol on there that looks like a dragon. Yeah, Dagmar's pissed at him, and then Magnus says that when his work is done, he will be given the strength to, like, make him unstoppable. So that's kind of what his motivation is throughout all this, and overthrowing, making everything bad.
That's what the Rock says.
Does he?
No, like the Rock in this story.
Oh, yeah, the Rock.
To like a rock.
Yeah, we can call him the Rock.
The Rock, yeah.
I called him a demon the whole time, but I hate calling things like demons or monsters.
Yeah, so
I like
Dwayne the Rock Johnson is like talking to him in his head.
Yeah.
And like all the prisoners like hear him.
He hears the Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna do my famous Rock impression.
Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Klaus got the message from Magnus's kid Jonas, which is like a fake sob story about how this kid has to like take care of his mom and stuff, and all he wants is like a wooden horse or some shit. But he tells him to deliver it through the door because he doesn't have a chimney or something.
The chimney like collapsed or something.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. So he has to go through the door to deliver the present, but he tells him to be careful and to not wake up his mom when he's there. And so when he goes into the house, he finds Sergeant Linkvist like tied up, and then there's an ambush from the guards that are there. And so he manages to disarm like some of them. He like grabs a stool and disarms some fucker with a sword using a stool.
Yeah, like the legs of it, like yeah. The sword gets caught.
Imagine
up
how
in
dumb
it.
You would feel if you like
I feel got like this bested guy just beat me with a stool.
A fucking cheap ass stool. Yeah, I just saw that and I was like, that's kind of sick.
And then the other guy got like stabbed with the legs of the stool. They didn't pierce his body, but like
still, he just like pushes him. It wouldn't feel good.
He's like, oof.
Yeah. And so then he kind of runs up to the rooftop where he's met by archers that are on other rooftops, like shooting poison arrows at him. And so he gets hit in the arm and he slides off a roof and then softens the landing by ripping the arrow out of his arm and tearing the flag on the wall with his arrow to like tear it and make him slow down.
Yeah, like as he's falling.
Which is kind of sick.
Yeah, and pretty dope.
Like a kid sees him fall like to the floor and he offers to help him while he's like kind of weak from the poison of the arrow. And so they leave Grimsvig and, you know, they end up finding Lily. And they get him on a sled and escape to, like, his place.
The kid's, like, family was being, like, abducted, like by the people in Grimsvig, like, the guards.
Like, they're at that time, right?
Yeah, they're, like, taking, like, all the kids for some reason.
Yeah, which we find out later why. But, right. Yeah, they're taking
just
all
the... Just wanted to mention that.
Mm-hmm. They're taking a bunch of the civilians at this time. But while Klaus is being taken away, Magnus is, like, tied on his trail. And you could see, you know, where he's being taken from. And he says that he doesn't want to waste this opportunity to finally kill the claws.
I have a really big issue.
What's up?
Did you see this cover?
Yeah, it's a big spoiler, isn't it?
Yeah, dude. All right, so issue 5 cover has the fucking...
The Rock.
Like, the Rock.
It's got Dwayne The Rock Johnson in
it. It's got Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but inside Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
All right, spoilers. There's a
demon
inside The Rock that and it like whispers to Magnus. Or
he's
whatever
like, all right, Magnus.
Yeah, and so they show him just on the cover of this next issue, and I'm like...
Poor choice.
What the fuck is that?
It's not even like that cool of a cover either.
Yeah, no.
Like the demon doesn't enhance it
I thought
all.
It was like a dragon like at first, like when like... In the earlier issues, but I then thought, they just show the whole thing.
I thought they would have named him Krampus at some point.
That would work. He looks like he'd be a Krampus. I don't know what a Krampus is, but he seems...
It's like an evil Christmas thing. I don't know. But they don't ever give him a name, and so I don't know what this dude's deal is, you know?
Yeah,
he's just like
know.
A demon that comes out. So.
And he likes eating, like spoiled likes, kids or something?
Yeah, like, he doesn't like children because they're, like, greedy and spoiled and they need to be punished.
Yeah, this so the deal. Shock value of seeing this dude for the first time would have hit, like, way harder if we didn't know what he looks like from the cover.
And, like, he doesn't end up showing up until, like, the end of the book. So, yeah, not the best choice of cover there.
Yeah, so either way, in trade or individual issues,
we got it spoiled. Yeah. It sucks. Congrats, Dan Mora.
Good job.
Or editors.
I bet that was that designer bitch.
Yeah, probably design. Well, the cover's by Dan Mora.
Yeah, but
maybe the designer is like,
probably picks what is.
You should really have Dwayne The Rock Johnson on this cover. Is what she said.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson chasing
Klaus,
our man Klaus.
Yeah,
Santa Klaus.
Anyway, chapter 6, Dagmar takes Jonas and secretly like leaves with him away from like the castle. But Klaus makes it back to his place with the kid, where he can make more of his like shroom soup, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But this one heals him, I think. He's a very good cook, you know, even when he's poisoned.
I guess so.
Yeah. But he tells the kid about like the spirits that'll come out during the Northern Lights and whatnot. And he tells the kid to go get him some water. And Lily and the kid right after think that they see those spirits in the distance, but they end up actually being like the poison arrows. And so one of them actually hits Lily in like the back, and as she tries to escape, another one hits her in like the front of her body, and she like whimpers away. And I was like, no, not Lily.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't need this right now.
It's fucking heartbreaking, because when it gets her, like, you could tell she's surprised, and she tries to get away, and then another one hits her like in the fucking shoulder.
I know.
And then walks away with shoulders like with arrows still in her, and it just really rips you apart, you know?
Right.
And so it ends up being Magnus's men, obviously, and they shoot arrows at Klaus's house, which starts like cause a fire, and then he gets knocked in the back of the head. Someone likes his cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Good one.
Yeah. So Klaus wakes up and he's tied to these stakes that are hammered into the ice, and he's like tied down to the ice. They've stripped him of his shirt, obviously, not his pants. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just his shirt, so you can see his abs.
They're not that evil.
Yeah. And so now he's just kind of tied down watching his house burn.
Dude, can you imagine your cheeks on like a frozen lake?
Dude, just being from Flagstaff, and it wasn't even like that cold. It's probably like negative degrees Fahrenheit here, and he's just laying on ice.
Yeah, dude.
His back is sticking to this ice right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like the freezer burn.
Yeah. It's like when you sit on a leather couch shirtless for too long and you try and get up.
Oh, yeah. It like peels your back off.
That, but it's cold.
Have you ever seen any of the Saw movies?
Yes.
Have you seen the one that has like Chester Bennington in it?
No.
He's like in like a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
and
yeah.
And then his back is like glued to the seat.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
When he has to pull like a lever and it tears his like fucking skin off his back.
Horrible. That's what it would be here.
Dude. Just like I can't even handle like a cold toilet seat. Like I'll stand up and wait.
You'll like get up and then go on the toilet seat, try and get some warm air on it.
Exactly.
But anyway, Magnus takes the kid, saying that he'll like turn him into his accomplice or some shit before he leaves. And so that's where Klaus is at right now. I really like this whole scene in general, just because the art in the pages where Klaus is tied up is just like, it's the coloring specifically is phenomenal, because we kind of see like a fire going on like the bottom of the page, and then it transitions like colder stuff going on, which I think it just looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the scene where Magnus is like leaving, because it's like a progression like across the page, but as he gets like, as that sled gets further away, those panels get shorter as well. And I think that's just, like, really good storytelling.
Yeah, it's got to be super difficult to, like, make both of those, like, color tones work in, like, one panel.
That's
like,
what, yeah.
Like, the warms and the colds.
Like, they're so different, but they make them work so well somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, so very impressive on, like, how that works really well.
Yeah. Also, why doesn't Magnus just kill him?
I guess he just wanted to torture him.
I guess. Classic bad guy mistake.
Yeah, dude. It's always like, I'm going to tell you my plan. Because
he even said, like, man, I just want to, like, literally the cliffhanger last issue was like, I just need to kill him and so I don't have to worry about him anymore. Right. And he's clearly in a spot where he could kill him, but I guess he just wants to leave him there instead.
Mm-hmm.
Unattended in the ice that he could probably break because it's just shit hammered into ice, you know? But anyway. Right. So the kid gets back and he sees all the, like, the kids
that were, like, from, gathered up.
Yeah, all the gathered up kids in Magnus's castle. And they're actually enjoying some, like, toys and lots of sweets and shit, which is obviously suspicious to the kid. And he kind of makes the realization that they're just being fattened up. And so we don't really know why yet, but it cuts to the mines. And we see the creature in the Black Rock, which is Dwayne the Rock Johnson. He finally escapes after all that mining and stuff. And he ends up making his way to Magnus's throne room, where we see, like, those kings finally come in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four guys, right?
Yeah,
those are the kings. Okay. Yeah, I thought they were just, like, special knight dudes or whatever, but it makes sense if they're, like, different kings from around.
Yeah, so this was kind of cool because, like, you know, obviously Magnus is, like, this dictator type that mm-hmm. like puts his, like, people through shit, and so they're like, your laws and are inhuman and arbitrary, and so I'm like, all right, cool, yes, some law, let's yeah. go, some order.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that was, like, kind of refreshing, but then he's like, what do you mean I did everything fine?
Yeah.
Let's eat first or whatever. And then
he's like,
our big boy Dwayne comes through the doors.
Yeah. And he says I'm hungry. That's how he says.
Yep, hungry.
That's how he sounds. And so
this first panel of seeing him, like, the full awesome. Frontal, so sick.
Yeah, like,
terrifying.
It's so dope. And, like, he's, I don't know, like,
he's got these furry shoulders, his snout and spikes. Head looks like a skull almost, and then he's got these huge ass long horns.
Big old tongue.
He's all black.
And he's got furry, abs.
Always shredded, yeah.
He's got, like, spikes coming out of his, like, shoulders and arms and stuff.
I thought that was fur, but spikes is cool too, even scarier.
He's got, what do you call the person that's, like, half horse and half person? A minotaur?
Minotaur.
He's got, like, minotaur legs.
Sure.
Which is cool.
He's got a tail. Why not?
Sure. Doesn't ever use it. But, and he's got a sack. That's a big part of this, and I'll get right. into that later. But, yeah, so Dwayne the Rock Johnson makes an appearance, and he burns one of those kings alive with a dragon breath thing that he has.
Yeah, he, like, breathes fire.
Yeah.
And so he, like, melts people.
That's also not good.
That's pretty mellow.
You don't want that.
No. He's melting faces out here.
Yeah, he really is. And then we cut back to Klaus, and it's clearly been a few hours because he's very cold, very pale. But Lily is still there. She's trying to help out. She's licking him. It's just, like, Lily looks so vulnerable, like, here, because she's, like, so sad for Klaus, but, like, doesn't know how to help either.
Right.
Especially as, like, these wolves are coming up. It's just, it's awesome. I'm very connected to Lily.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's, like, so she's there by his side. Klaus is weak and tells Lily not to be scared and to remember the song from the first issue. And he has a very faint whistle, but Lily comes in with the big howls. And we start to see all that psychedelic coloring and stuff again.
Oh, so these are, like, the, in this part, these are, like, Northern Lights.
Yeah, that's the Northern Lights.
And so a part of the lore was, like, that the letters that the kids sent, like, went up to the Northern Lights, and that's, like, where the spirit of Santa lived.
Okay. Because it's also a thing that the spirits would come out during, like, when the Northern Lights are out as well.
Yeah, that seems...
Yeah.
Seems accurate.
And so we see those spirits come out who put Klaus into some sort of trance where he, like, sees a bunch of weird shit while they keep saying, like, make better, essentially. But, like, just that whole scene is awesome just because we see, like, his heart is, like, super icy and maybe he's, like, dying or something. I'm not really sure what that's, like, representing. But then he's in, like, that... It's like that scene in SpongeBob where Squidward is in, like, the white background.
Yeah, like the...
And there's, like, a bunch of, like, alone. Yeah, it's like that. But he sees, like, a bunch of, like, abstract shapes and shit. But there's a sled in there and stuff. So it's clearly his, like... It's like his granting of Santa Claus powers or something happening here. And it's just... it looks unbelievable. Some of the, like, the panel shapes that they take and then... how it like fades into like white and it's like him screaming. It's just, it's really cool.
And I guess there's like some geometrical like alien things that are, that say make better.
Yeah.
And they give him these stones with like these weird
symbols. Like, symbols. On
one of them being the P from earlier. And that was the end of issue 6, I think.
Yep. So,
or 5.
No, that was 6.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yep. So we're on the last one.
Ooh, 7.
Yeah. So we're back at Grimsvig, and all the kids, you know, found a way to escape the room that they were in while Dwayne the Rock Johnson is starting all sorts of shit. The Rock grabs Jonas, and he, like, backhands Dagmar, and Magnus tries to control the Rock with the book that he has, and he's kind of been using to try and, like, command him. But then the Rock burns the book and says that he pretty much played Magnus just so that he can get him out of that fortress of a rock.
Ah, which is deception.
Yeah.
This demon thing was actually evil.
He's like, fucking idiot.
Stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, Dagmar shoots an arrow into the Rock's eye, which gives Jonas a chance to, like, get out of his grip and escape. But then the little fucker, like, accidentally runs into other kids that are also trying to escape and leads the Rock to them. And so the Rock, like, tries to get all of them into his sack, as he says.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, starts with Jonas.
Yeah, this is weird. He's like, get into my sack.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not what I would write in this kind of situation.
And then they're like, no, no one's getting into your sack.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this?
I know. I'm like, could it, like, could you say, like, bag, maybe? Like, yeah. Get into my bag?
Yeah, like a satchel, maybe.
Get into my purse.
Get into my carry-on.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's just get into my big sack.
Get into my luggage.
Yeah. But yeah, he's there. It's very scary. But Jonas kind of attempts to spare the kids by telling the Rock to take him and, like, let the kids go, which is kind of like a change of character that we see, and it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, all right. So he takes Jonas anyway and gets him into his sack. The dad of the kid that helped out Klaus hits the big demon with, like, an axe, and then the kids are able to, like, run out of the castle. And when the Rock catches up, we see Klaus come in to save the day on this, like, insane-looking sled that he has that's led by more of those white wolves.
Dude, I don't even know how to describe this sled. It's like, got...
It's, like, alien in nature.
It's, like, an alien, organic kind of... sled. He's got like just a bunch of wolves as his reindeer.
It's like if Thor had a sled,
yeah,
but mix that with like some alien shit.
But like in Thor Ragnarok though,
where yeah, it's all colorful. Yeah. And so yeah, Klaus comes in, saves the day. He starts stabbing the Rock and like doing pretty good against him when Klaus himself gets snuck up on and stabbed through the chest by Magnus with, like, the big sword that he's able to wield now.
Okay, I have a big problem with this.
Why?
So, we see Klaus on top of this big demon thing that's, like, 50 feet tall.
He's on his chest.
He's on his chest, stabbing him, like, in the neck. And then somehow fucking Magnus comes up behind him and stabs him through the back?
Yeah, they're probably...
And then they're on the ground again.
There probably should have been some pacing where, like, the Rock, like, swats him off, like, onto the ground or some shit, and then Magnus takes the chance to stab him. So I do agree with you. There's like another break in like continuity.
Yeah.
So
that like I was surprised by that, mostly because no one else was up there.
Yeah. So I'm like, where did you come from, Magnus?
I was like, wow, he must have jumped really high or some shit, but no, but like
must have done some Final Fantasy shit with that sword.
Right. Anyway.
But no, that's yeah, that's definitely a good point, because after he's stabbed, he's on the ground kneeling. So Magnus then tries to get the demon to deliver on their agreement that they have, or sorry, the Rock to deliver on the agreement that they have. And he comes to the realization that he like just wants acceptance from his people. So his actions that he thought was the Rock voice was actually his own or some shit. But anyway, he gets like fucking melted from the Rock's dragon breath thing. And he's just obliterated, and it looks great.
Oh yeah, dude, it's so brutal.
It's so like
it feels like he's being abducted almost, but in like red and yellow.
Yeah,
and his skin just being showered with that
like hot substance, and it's very like
graphic.
No, I guess like just the contrast from like the kind of green and stuff in like the first panels, and it's like violent.
Sure,
it's like violent bright colors.
I agree.
So it's very cool. So he gets melted, and he's like still alive, I guess, but he's kind of out of the story now, to be honest. But the Rock takes Jonas away, and Dagmar is about to run after the kid when Klaus pulls up, and he's like, okay, now, explaining that the spirits made him into this immortal, essentially. And as the Rock tries to escape with Jonas, Klaus jumps on to what I assume is his, like, evil sleigh.
Dude, this thing is so fucking brutal.
It's cool, but where the fuck did that come from?
This shit's dumb, too. Like,
it looks like a dragon as a sleigh, and there's, like, demon dogs that are leading it. So he's got his own, like, Santa's sleigh.
So imagine,
but where does it come from, dude? It's just there all of a sudden. Does he, like, summon it? It looks like there's some weird, like,
I agree,
things that are happening to his, maybe that would have, like, spawned
his
it.
His whole sleigh looks like a metal band, like, name. And then he's got these...
What are you even talking about?
Yeah, dude, you know how, like, they always have that, like, bloody, oh, scratchy font? Yeah. It looks like their name. Yeah. And so, and then he's got, like, these, like, demon dog things pulling it.
That are supposed to be the reindeer.
Reindeer, I guess.
And so, yeah, so Klaus jumps onto that, and they get, like, taken further and further away from the ground and, like, up into space for some reason. And the demon tries to convince Klaus that children like Jonas are greedy and without gratitude, and so they must be punished. And now they're, like, in space for some reason. And when the Rock tries to burn Klaus, the fire's not conjured because in space there's not enough oxygen. And so he kind of just, like, blows smoke into his face. But this then allows Klaus to just fucking cut his head off. It's awesome. He's got really bright blood, and
a few things.
Okay.
So, after he's like, they must be punished, he's like, let me judge the terrible sins this child's committed.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to the naughty nice thing.
Yep. So.
And then when he chops off his head.
He says ho 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 a lot.
I guess. Does he say ho ho ho? Is that the sound of the chopping? I don't know.
No, he says ho 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 because when the Rock tries to, like, burn him. He says, like, do you know what else is funny? Up here, your fires don't burn. And I think it's, like, a weird laugh that he has.
Maybe it's, like...
Because he mentions that something's funny.
Maybe it's hydrogen monoxide, he keeps saying.
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, oh, oh.
He's just yelling hydrogen monoxide a bunch.
Hydrogen monoxide!
So, cuts off the head. But, yeah, we do see the hints of, like, I'll judge the children of whether they're good or not.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that, too.
What came down and crashed down? Is that...
That's the sleigh.
That's this... Are you sure? It looks like a dude.
It does look like a dude.
Is that not Klaus?
That might be...
Or that is the sleigh.
That's the Rock.
Oh, the Rock died. Okay.
Yeah, the Rock...
He smashes the ground.
The Rock plummets to Earth. It crashes through Magnus's castle just for added effect. and then Klaus and Jonas are okay because of his weird magical sleigh thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it brings him down... and brings him back to Dagmar. And then Klaus decides that Grimsvig deserves a real Yule time. He, like, gets a big old tree outside from the wilderness, and he puts on some lights in it. And then we see them celebrate that year, but then we also see the progression of them celebrating future Yule's time in the years to come. And we see that Dagmar gets old dancing with Klaus when he doesn't age at all. And so she eventually says, like, I think my dancing days are done, and what a life it's been, but please promise you won't dance on alone. And so she ends up dying of old age, and there's, like, a funeral, and he brings his, you know, yeah, there's, like, a funeral. And then he decides that he wants to start doing Santa shit. And so he's about to leave, but Jonas, as a grown-up child, brings the wooden bird that he originally gave Dagmar all those years ago, brings that to him, and then, yeah, Klaus just flies off and is doing Santa guy shit.
Yeah, he basically said that he's just gonna go be Santa everywhere.
Yeah. He's like, it's a big old world.
And then he's, like, in space with his dog reindeers.
Yeah, to go to the... Yeah, I don't know why, Santa doesn't go in space, right?
How do you think he gets around so fast?
He goes into the clouds.
Maybe.
Into that. Or maybe, I mean, maybe it is space. I feel like I can't see space.
Nope, yeah.
But how's he supposed to breathe? He's a god. It's fine.
It's probably a dome that comes over. It's like the slave's like a convertible.
Yeah.
And he just puts the top down.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
And the reindeer are fine. They don't need oxygen, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Which they're still wolves at this point. So I wonder when he like ditches the wolves and he's like, fuck you, Lily.
I guess we got to read Klaus too.
I guess. But I really like just the like seeing Klaus and then Dagmar getting old as they like continue dancing and celebrating Yule time. Like he has like time to settle down.
There's one cover in here that shows Klaus with like white hair and a white beard. I'm like, oh, is this coming? And then it never comes. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess.
Is there?
Yeah. It's like issue like 5 or something.
Oh, interesting.
It's like in the corners. It's very subtle.
Right.
But I thought there was going to be some weird origin on why his hair is white.
I think it comes later because I saw just in the preview of some of the other trades.
He's got white hair?
Yeah.
Ah, spoilers. Okay.
That's cool. So anyway, that's the end of the book and we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
And so we got some covers.
Dan Moore covers.
So, yeah, which are phenomenal. We got one from Fraser Irving. There's a double page one from Philippe Smith.
Felipe.
Sorry. Chris Burnham has one. And there's like Santa in the background. And I recognize Chris Burnham. I've seen him in something. I just don't know what it is. But all of these covers are from like independent artists, which is cool.
Nice.
I've got another Dan Mora one. Coley Hamner. I know I've seen that name before because it's so close to Hammer. And for whatever reason, that stuck out in my head.
Okay. Vanessa R. Del Rey.
I think she's one of the ones that's on that. What's her name? The colorist that did the book and it's about witches.
Redlands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Vanessa Del Rey does the art on that book.
That makes sense. This is kind of looks like that style.
Yeah. David Rubin, who...
Oh, dude, he does Black Hammer shit.
Yeah. And nice. He's doing the new book with Jeff Lemire. Or no.
Oh, the Kickstarter one.
The Kickstarter one, yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing that as well.
Dope.
And those are all the covers. And then we see a little... A little biography or a little summary of the, what do you call those?
Autobiography?
It's like a little summary of the artists in this. So Grant Morrison, obviously he's done a lot of shit, but Dan Mora, he's born 1987. He's only like 10 years older than this and he's doing well for himself clearly, but he's, you know, done work for Boom. And in 2014, he was on the monthly series Hexed for Boom. So he's a Costa Rican artist.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool. Yep. And that's it for Back Matter Matters. But yeah, again, way better than I could have ever thought something like this could be. So I was really jazzed about this book in general. Like I would tell someone to go read this, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
So
The Life and Times of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Klaus, The New Adventures of Santa Claus. That's exciting. And then
So it feels like almost like a,
so we're good for like 2 more years.
Yeah, it feels almost like a Hellboy kind of situation, because it's like Klaus and then it's like Klaus and this, where it's like Hellboy and then BRPD, you know.
Right.
So there's other things in there
for sure.
So I'm excited for next year when it's Christmas again to read another Klaus book
for sure.
But now we'll go into our next segment, the pull list, shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box? Did you even go to the store today?
I did not.
I
don't even know what's coming out.
I heard from the shop owner that like there was a delay in books because I guess there's some shipping issue. And so
for everybody or...
At least for him, I assume it's for everybody. Like, I guess in Utah, maybe it's a diamond issue or whatever.
Well, hopefully it's all there next week because I probably won't be able to make it until then.
Right.
I know that King in Black 2 came out, which I'll be picking up.
I think Sea of Stars 8 came out.
I don't even know where I am on that book. I know I'm not caught up.
I think I'm at like 5 at least.
That's a good book too.
Yeah, that one's fun.
Family Tree number 10.
Oh.
Yeah, super light week.
Ooh, last issue of Gideon Falls.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's done.
It's finished.
It's
what over. Issue? 27?
Yep.
Nice. They couldn't have just, like, wrapped it up by 25?
Not a around 28 or 30.
Yeah, just go up to 30. Add three more.
Perhaps.
So, yeah, I haven't picked up anything, but I did get to read Barbalian Red Planet number 2, and I do highly recommend it.
I'm and so like, behind on single issue shit, but
I... But Barbalian's only 2 issues right now.
That's
so,
true.
So you can read that. Mm-hmm. And I want to pick up Colonel Weird Cosmogog.
Oh, you don't have that?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
And I think that one's only a couple issues in, too.
I think it's 2 as well, yeah.
Yeah, so I might run and try and go find those, because I'm really, really enjoying just Gabriel Walta art.
Will you finish the main one?
How many issues is it?
It's like 2 trades of like 12.
I think I have. I read like a big hard... Maybe it was 12. Maybe I just read the first 12.
So that's the first one, and there's a second one.
I read up to the point...
It's Age of Doom.
Okay, I don't think I've read Age of Doom. I read up to the point...
Age of Doom is arguably better.
Really?
Like, you know how, like, you know, the first Guardians of the Galaxy and, like, the first, like, Deadpool? It's, like, something really homey about it because it's, like, it sets up a lot and you like that because it's so simple.
Yeah.
And then the sequels, it just gets, like, more intense, but you like that, you know? Yeah. And, like, in like, a good way. It's like that. You okay. know what I mean?
Yeah, because so. I like Guardians 2 better than Guardians 1.
Okay. Hot take, but sure.
It is a hot take. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I got up to the point where...
Like, you're not reading...
The girl picks up the black hammer, and then she becomes...
Oh, my God, you know nothing.
Really?
Yeah, dude. So
is that, like halfway, or, like...
It seems like...
It was a fat hardcover.
Yeah, it's 12 issues.
Okay, so yeah, that's probably where I'm at then.
Jeez, I should have got you that for Christmas, because that's more important. it's not like you're reading out of order. It's just like that, the main one is just like so, I think it's so important for anyone who reads comics regularly to read. Because I don't know anyone who hates it.
Exactly.
It's you can't hate it.
Even Patton Oswalt is contributing.
Exactly.
And he's
everyone loves Patton Oswalt.
He's a big name, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I read. I want to read obviously a lot more because I have things I need to read. I want to catch up on Green Lantern. I'm like a couple behind on that. So I'm going to try and do that as well.
Cool.
We watched Elf as well.
Yeah, we did.
In the theater. It was rented out.
Pretty fun.
It's a good time.
You could definitely miss some things if you only watch it on like DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
Or video on demand.
Yeah. We also watched Zodiac together.
Yeah, dude.
On our Sunday movie night. And that is a long movie, but it like keeps my interest the whole time.
It doesn't feel like it. Like, I definitely realized that it was long, but like it didn't feel like it was dragging at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
So... Yeah, definitely super interesting, especially because I know like nothing about the Zodiac Killer, and I feel like that wrapped up quite a bit of it.
Yeah, it I get the gist of kind of like what happened and stuff.
Made me want to listen to like serial killer podcasts, just because like it seemed pretty interesting.
Oh, it made you want to listen?
Yeah.
Yeah, shit like that, like especially if there's like puzzles, and it's like, ooh, there's a little puzzle like, here.
Yeah, and you're then, like figuring it out.
And then with Jake Gyllenhaal is like, oh, I know how to do this, and then he does it, and he's like, but I'm just a cartoonist,
right? So, did you pick up that like Zodiac is an actual book, and that's the book that he writes like in the movie?
Yeah,
and then like the writer of it is like the cartoonist.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'd like double check that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and then the movie's based off that book that he makes.
Right.
Yeah. So, good stuff. What else did you watch?
I watched The Mandalorian, Nathan.
Is that the only other thing? Are we going into the finale of Whose Mans Is This?
Yep.
Okay.
Fridays are for the Mando.
Yes.
Last episode of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Of this season.
Okay. Boy, oh boy.
Oh, man.
I finished this episode. Well, let me clarify. I bought kettle corn just for this, and I was so engaged with this episode that I forgot to eat it. And wow. I specifically went and bought it for this. But, like, after this episode was over, I was like, God damn, that was like pure magic that fucking happened.
Yeah.
And I had it, unfortunately, spoiled for me.
Yeah, dude. You waited till Sunday.
No, I waited till Saturday, the day after.
That's too long.
And I just wanted to go on Twitter.
What was spoiled?
Boss Logic had to fucking, you know, do a concept of Luke Skywalker. It was, yeah. So, but there's plenty of other things to enjoy in that episode, obviously. So,
yeah,
they're going to save Grogu. They're on the... the Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
And...
or whatever it is.
Good stuff happens. I hope that those Dark Troopers don't really come back.
Yeah, so those I thought were dumb because it just seems like too tough and like really, I'm like, how are these people going to take these things down? Because he struggled fighting like one.
Yeah.
And then there was just the cop out to like shoot him out that vac.
Yeah. Which I thought was a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be there.
Right. I don't know either.
But I was definitely like drunk enough to where when he tries to like close it, like there's a lot like that. That scene was very suspenseful, and I think it made it work in that sense.
Sure.
Where, like, he tries to, like, close the door real quick as they're, like, walking out, and the one, like, grabs the doors, like, in the middle as he's, like, trying to close it and opens it, and then there's, like, a close-up on the face and everything and the music. Like, he nailed that suspense.
Sure.
Because I was like, oh, no, he's going to open up, and then they're all going to come out. But it was just the one. But I wish at some point, like, there was some actual stakes, you know, like
I think there were
with the fight, maybe because, you know, maybe he could like break his arm or some shit, but I feel like it would have landed more if that like Dark Trooper like uppercuts his helmet off of him or something. And now he's running around with his face.
Right.
Because then like he could get punched in the face real hard and that wouldn't be nice. Or when he goes to fight Moff Gideon with the Darksaber, like that fight's really cool. But he's got the Beskar armor, so there's not, like, anything super intense going on.
I mean, like...
I feel like
he's just, still got to, like, move around. He has got, like, basically a t-shirt under, like, the main parts of the armor.
He does, but he's really good at doing this move with, like, the arm in front of your face to, like, right. Block. He's doing a Dracula move real quick. So
like a Batman, like, oh.
Yeah, he's really good at that. But I just wish, like, just having something exposed, and it probably would have, like, if his face is exposed, it would have been... probably like a little bit better for me personally.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's fair.
Other than that, it was all, you know, pretty cool. I think that obviously he gets like the Darksaber. I think that those rules were pretty lame.
I get it. And I feel like there's shit like that in this universe to where like Bo-Katan like has to like earn it by beating the person who had it before.
Yeah.
But then I saw like clips of like her just getting it.
Yeah, she just gets
Rebels.
It. I like saw the same thing.
Someone just passes it to her. It's someone else in the Mandalorians, and I don't. Maybe it was like something to where like she took it and she wasn't supposed to and was like shamed for it or whatever. And so yeah. She wants to earn it, kind of thing.
Maybe it'll get. I don't know. On.
They'll add whatever they need in order for it to be like, I guess, interesting. I don't. They didn't really wrap that up. Like, I guess he'll just be the leader of the Mandalorians next season.
Yeah, maybe.
But
I wish like the Darksaber could maybe like do damage. Maybe to like if that was the only thing that could cut through Beskar, that would also be cool with me. But sure. Maybe it would take like a couple swings. You know, it's not one they're gonna get at the like. It's not gonna be like butter.
What was so cool about that?
The Darksaber?
Yeah, over like a lightsaber.
It cuts things better.
Well, wait, yeah, it said, like, there was something that it does that they needed in order to get Mandalore back or something, right?
I don't think we know what that is yet.
Okay.
They just need that thing in order to help.
Right. So
that's kind of what probably the next season's going to be about.
Yeah. I have a couple issues. So, what the fuck did Moff Gideon need Grogu for?
Blood samples.
For what?
To get midichlorians off of him. They hinted at him making clones.
Okay, right.
It would be real bad if he made a Sith clone.
Right.
And so I think that's where the direction is going. He has what he needed already. He was like ready to kill Grogu.
But he's like captured now, right?
He's captured now, but
he could have like sent it or something.
Yeah, I think all of that is like wherever it needs to be. and okay. he was probably just using Grogu as like leverage or maybe like for further testing. But I think that gives him opportunity in future seasons to be like, because this season was obviously very almost like fan servicey with bringing in different aspects of the Star Wars universe, where I feel like now there's room to like make a cool new character. I don't know if Moff Gideon was a thing before.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But I think if they like make a clone Sith that's like an original character for the series, I think it would benefit it, the series really well.
You know what I think? I think there needs to be like one of those Mac Daddy like Sith dudes that's like an alien, like not like a humanoid like looking character.
Sure.
I think that'd be really cool. Not like just another black hood and a helmet, you know?
Yeah.
Because that seems kind of played out.
I mean, what kind of Sith people are like that, though? Like, give an example.
So, like, the, you know, the Inquisitors?
Yeah.
A lot of those are, like alien life forms, not just, like, people, you know?
Okay, yeah. So still, like, normal, like, humanoid Star Wars, but, like, aliens?
Like a weird head or something?
Maybe, like, an evil Kit Fisto?
That'd be sick.
I just want Kit Fisto back.
He's gone, Nathan.
I know. Dooku killed him just immediately. It wasn't even cool.
No, it was Sidious.
Sorry. Yeah, it was Sidious. No, I think it was Dooku.
Yeah, because he showed up with...
Because he does a big spinny thing, and he's there with Mace Windu, right?
Yeah. And
Dooku.
Sidious.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. Dooku. Right. Yeah. I thought Dooku did the spinny thing, but no, it was Sidious. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he just fucking kills him.
Yeah, and he didn't even put up a fight. Like, it was so fast.
I know. It's so
bad. He looks the coolest, though.
I fucking hate Star Wars, but I love Star Wars. But anyway, Luke Skywalker shows up. Pretty cool.
Yeah, he shows up in the X-Wing.
What was your reaction?
So, I was really excited because, you know, it was just, like, a lot of emotion. I didn't know how to process it.
Yeah,
me too. They also didn't, like, give it away right away.
No.
So, I see the X-Wing. I'm like, maybe it's, like...
Jedi
X-Wing fighter or something.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do? Shoot the place from the inside?
And then you see the cloak.
And then I see the cloak.
And you're like, okay, a Jedi.
Yeah, this could be a Jedi. Then we see the green. I'm like, this could still be any Jedi. And then you see the hand, the metal hand.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay.
Fuck yeah.
And then he opens the door and takes off his hood. I'm like, okay.
He looks great.
Looks really good. Yeah, like, I get it's not perfect. I don't know why they didn't just cast Sebastian Stan to do this, like,
that was the rumor, right? Thing.
That's, like, a fan casting thing that's never been, like, confirmed. I think that'd be cheaper than just trying to do the CGI.
I think it looked great. I'm cool with
the But you that. Know it's not a person. You know, it's not, like...
It was Mark Hamill. I think he, like, was there for it because he had to, like, be on set.
Pretty
sure. I don't know. I don't know how fucking de-aging works, but he was there.
I don't think they de-aged him. I think they legit, like, just photoshopped a face on there.
Photoshop.
It looked like one of those, like, celebrity filter things.
Like a deep fake?
I don't know what that is. Is that what that is?
Yeah. It's essentially video Photoshop.
Yeah. So.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure he was there. And, like, because he, like, did a tweet about it, and he was like, I'm surprised we were able to keep it a secret this long, especially, like, being on set and all the variables and whatnot.
I'm sure.
But.
Okay. So, he doesn't look like that, like, physically, you know, his body.
But I'm sure, like, he shaved to make it, like, easier, and then they did all the ADR stuff and added whatever CGs, but.
Right.
I thought he looked great, so, I mean, I'm cool with whatever they want to do going. Yeah. We probably won't see him for a while.
Yeah, I don't imagine we'd see him, like, in next season.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that he would take him and whatnot. And so that was cool.
Yeah.
But it could have been anyone else.
Yeah, it could have.
That felt the signal or whatever and, like, went his way. Like, I just don't think every single Star Wars property needs to have a Skywalker in it.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that was, like, my only, like, thing where I'm like, why can't this just be standalone and nothing ties into anything? And it's like,
that's not the Star Wars way.
And there's nothing fan servicey about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, we know it's in the Star Wars world, you know?
Yeah. I think it leads, like, interesting story because we don't know what Skywalker was really up to from Empire Strikes Back.
yeah, like
to force to Last Jedi, really. Like, we know, like, a little bit towards the end when he fucks up trying to train Kylo Ren and whatever, but this seems like it's immediately after Empire. So right. What happens to Grogu? That I'm interested in, and I'm interested if, like...
Let me tell you what happens. Nothing bad. He probably gets trained and does some his own thing. I don't think Kylo Ren, like, hurts him at all, even though I think that would make sense.
I think Grogu's gone by the time that Luke tries to do any of that.
Right. And so, I think, like, because of what Baby Yoda has, like, become over the last, like, year or so, there's no way anything negative will happen to him, story-wise.
Well, where is he at?
He'll be with Luke training and whatnot. And
then what?
Maybe he grows up and
he dies.
He does his own thing. No, he doesn't die. He'll live to be like 900 years old.
Yeah, true. Too much merchandise.
So I don't think, like, you know, Kylo Ren, like, burning down like that academy.
I don't think it has anything. I don't think it's even close to the
yeah, that's trilogy. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
it's just somewhere within that void, which I'm cool with. Also, I like the memes of, like, R2 being like, are you fucking kidding me? Another one of these things? Like,
right.
Because Yoda always, like, hit him with the stick or whatever.
Yeah. It's pretty
funny. And I really like the scene where he like the Mandalorian takes off the helmet and he's like Pedro Pascal is like crying and stuff. Like, it's really good acting there.
He's like talking to like a puppet and yeah. He's like,
and he does really good. I think it's a little overshadowed by the fact that there's like a de-aged Luke kind of staring at him, but
yeah,
I think that's worth shouting out. Like, he's a good actor. I like
yeah,
him.
No, that was a great episode.
So good stuff. What was your least favorite episode this season, or your favorite episode, or both?
What episodes were there? I think my favorite one was like when all the other Mandalorians showed up. I just thought that was really cool.
In like the third episode?
Yeah.
That's probably my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's the Bo-Katan one on Tatooine, then there's like the Snowy one, and then that's when they're on Mon Calamar, right?
No, they don't go to Mancala.
Mancala.
There just happened to be
a Mon
Calamari there.
Okay. But yeah, that's that episode where all the Mandalorians show up, right?
Yeah, when like the fish people are there or whatever. Yeah. And then they go and like do the little heist thing. And like and there's some stormtroopers.
It's boring. Cool. There's no good action. They just get shot at and they're cool with it.
That's how this show is. They get shot at and then
they
shoot
back. I
know,
but there's just more of that. And I'm like, give me something, you know?
I don't know. I liked it. I think the one where, I don't know. They all kind of have things wrong with them in the sense that there's always, they meet up with somebody, he needs something, oh,
yeah,
I need you to do this thing,
but
and then I'll do that.
But there's different flavors
thing.
In each one. Like, I probably liked the Mayfeld one the best.
That one was, I think the best scene of the season was in that, when they're in the little cafeteria.
I just like the action in it as well. Like, there's actually stakes in that one because he doesn't have the Mandalorian armor the whole time.
Yeah.
He's showing his face.
Sure.
Mayfeld acting is really good. Also, apparently Bill Burr doesn't give a shit about Star Wars, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him. And yeah,
I think my least favorite is probably like that snow episode. Like, there just wasn't a lot to that.
Yeah, it's not my favorite
with like the spiders and stuff.
I still think it's better than that third episode, but yeah, good. Okay. Season overall, I like the Mandalorian more in this one.
I think he like was more of like a dad figure, and I guess that's fine, but I think I'm looking forward to him just, well, he won't go back to just doing like, you know, like bounty hunter jobs.
No,
whatever.
He's going to like try and help out the rest of the bitches, right, with Mandalore stuff. So
I think like I prefer him like just trying to do his job.
Yeah.
And then get rid of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he was definitely more emotional, which is fine, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool. So I'm excited for next season. Good show.
Yeah. So I don't know when that's supposed to be coming, but then they
2021.
Then they also announced like in December 2021.
Oh yeah,
with the Book of Boba Fett.
I'm pumped about that.
Do we need this though?
So I've been thinking about this. I'm like, do we need another Mandalorian show? There's not like Mandalorians aren't that interesting.
Yeah, I think this definitely explores the interesting parts.
Yeah, and I think it's going to stay that way. Like, all the cool, like, Mandalorian stuff is going to be in there. And I think the Book of Boba Fett is just going to be him being, like, a Hutt.
Like, from
like being
episode 6 until Mandalorian, essentially?
No, because I think that stuff's all after, like, the fact. Like, I think the last time he sees the Mandalorian, he just, like, goes over to Tatooine again. and then all that stuff happens. Unless I read that wrong, it could be before he meets up with Din Djarin.
So
I think it's like,
I think it'll be, it might be, I don't think it'd be placed like after
the events of season two.
Yeah. Cause then
that's what I took.
I feel
from
like
it.
He'd be helping with like this whole like Mandalore thing.
He's not really like a Mandalorian though. He's a clone.
Yeah. But he might help. I don't know.
He might help. Yeah.
I imagine the show will be like from episode six up into the first season of Mandalorian, or where we see him first.
I took it as after the events of season two, but now he's just like, all right, well, now I'm going to go back to this place. And I think it's going to be more like him being like a gangster almost, just like Jabba the Hutt was.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be interesting to explore, but I don't think Disney's dumb enough, or Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau dumb enough to make a second Mandalorian show. It's going to be the same. So I feel like there's going to be less Mandalorian stuff, but more like I'm a Star Wars gangster kind of thing.
Okay. I would be okay with that.
And it makes sense to have Boba Fett in that spot, because
I just want to know
killed there.
How the fuck you got out of like the Sarlacc pit?
I want to know that, and I'm sure that'll be explored, which will be really cool because no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I want him to throw people into the Sarlacc pit, because I think that'd be sick. Can you imagine how hard that would be? He's like, yeah, this sucks, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, you should pay me my money and like kick like 300 kicks him off.
Yeah, exactly.
This is into a Tatooine.
This is a Sarlacc. So. So I'm excited for it. I think that's the approach.
I just wish another show that would be pushed before this one did. I could see this.
We'll have enough Star Wars in the next 3 years. It'll be fine.
I know, but it's not coming when I want. I don't know. I'm gonna start playing like old Star Wars video games just to like get lore that I'm looking for. I think. I don't know what that is yet, but just like shit that's like new to me at least. So we'll see.
Yeah, good stuff.
Anyway,
so that's it for Shove It In Your Box, the poll list. So now I'm going to what we read next week, and Wonder Woman is out by the time this episode comes out. So we're going to read a Wonder Woman book. I just don't know which one that is.
Let's do the New 52 one, Brian Azzarello.
Yeah, I've heard that one's a good one to do.
So I think that's a good one. Or we could do like a Grant Morrison Year One.
Ooh, that might not. That would.
So that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Let's
do the Brian Azzarello one. I've been wanting to read that.
Okay, that sounds good.
So New 52 Volume One.
So since we did like, so next week. Are we going just to Marvel and then restarting that whole thing?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Because we went like...
Yeah, we fucked it up.
We have super fucked it up.
It's themed episodes. We did a bunch of independent during October. It's fine. Yeah. So we'll just do a Marvel one after that. It'll be good.
What did you do in November?
Thanksgiving books. We read Aquaman.
Only family. Only family things. Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
So thank you everybody for listening this week. Daniel, Merry Christmas Eve. It is tomorrow.
Ah, shit. Merry Christmas Eve.
Yep. And Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Hopefully you get comics.
I hope you get some comics or some cool toys.
Yep.
Maybe some Legos.
Be a nerd.
Nerdy t-shirts.
Yes.
That's always fun.
It is fun. And I'm not going to say Happy New Year because we'll have another episode by then. So just have a Merry Christmas for right now.
Yep. Stay jolly.
Yep. Bye.
Should we tell them how to find us?
Huh?
Should we tell them how to find us?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. We got the...
Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our theme song.
TradeWaiterspod@gmail.com, @TradeWaiterspod on Twitter, @MoreLikeNathThick on Twitter for me. And Daniel is the real Dan Natividad on Instagram. Is that what you normally plug?
It's Real Daniel Alejandro Instagram.
Real Daniel Alejandro.
Daniel Alejandro on TikTok.
Cool.
Cool.
Merry Christmas.
All right.